Well, good morning. It's good to be here. Good to be here with the folks here at Zion Rest. It's been quite a while. I think I know I've seen you, but I don't think I've been able to. I haven't spoken before y'all in quite some time, and it was very interesting. I think the prayer was appropriate. I think my mind is directed back on point to what I really need to talk about. If you have your Bibles, we'll turn to. You can just turn over to James. We'll get to some things here in a minute. But in thinking about some of the things that Brother Austin brought before us last week, my mind got stirred up on a couple of things. And some of the scriptures that are there in James chapter 5 can be expounded upon in such a way that, you know, there's like, as I was reading it, I read over it a little later that day when I got home, and I got to thinking, there's like 7 sermons in that chapter. And I mean, there is an awesome amount of things that are contained there. And in thinking about some of the things that Brother Austin talked about, we'll just read a few of the first 3 verses, and we'll kind of start there. And it'll go very well with the prayer that was mentioned this morning about a treasure, that and where we put our treasure. And it's very important where we put our treasure. Go to now, ye rich men, weep and howl for your miseries that shall come upon you. If you don't go any further than that, just take from it that ye rich men, he said, weep and howl for your miseries, because it's going to come, because you've laid up for treasures of yourselves and the things that really do not matter in this world, and those are riches. Me and Sammy continue to have discussions about things that we buy and purchase, and yesterday we were so blessed. I had a wonderful time with my brother-in-law, who helped me carry a couch out of my aunt's friend's house, a lady by the name of Teresa. I've known her my whole life, and you know, me and Sammy were talking recently about, you know, what do we really want to spend our money on, or where do we want to put stock in some things? And you know, I think we started off in one direction several months ago. We were looking at expensive couches, and we're like, you know, is this? And we stopped and hit the brakes, and we're like, is this really where we need to be spending our money? And as we started to really talk, and as we waited, and we're patient, we're prayerful, and thinking about some things, lo and behold, a couch was given to us for free, and I'm like, now that's what I'm talking about right there. So, you know, we need to, as we think about this, we really need to, you know, the Word of God is, you know, very important for us, and we really need to start taking more heed and doing exactly as what it says. You know, we read that Philippians chapter 4 where it says, you know, if you will do these things, the God of peace shall be with you. Yeah. And if we don't start putting some things into action, we will never improve. We'll never take the right steps forward. I got to thinking about something that the Elder, I think it's Jonathan Wise. Elder Jonathan Wise, he's not a brother, but he's elder now. He was ordained about a year ago. He wrote an article this week on the March Design page. And was it David? It was either David. Okay, maybe it was David. It's David Wise's brother. They're both brothers. And he wrote a wonderful little article about how if your church were to close in your community, would your community notice? If this church were to go away, would anybody know that it closed? And it's really caused, and you're sitting there thinking, well, I would know. And I'm like, well, yeah, because we're here. We would know if it closed, but would anybody else know? So are we really being the light to our community that we need to be? And where are we putting our salt? Where are we putting our treasure? Is it too much in getting into the nitpicky little things here that we want to nitpick over on doctrinal things to where we just stir up debates and strifes amongst people when things like so little don't really even matter? You know, are we more focused on somebody who may have a problem, like a drug problem? Are we so interested in condemning that person rather than figuring out a way to help the person? Where's your treasure at? Where are you putting your focus in? So in your community, if you're not, and then the focus of the article was, if your community doesn't know that you're there, you got to take a look at yourself. Why doesn't the community know more about Zion Rest Primitive Baptist Church? Now we can make excuses all day, and I hope I ain't come here step on anybody's toes this morning. But we can make excuses all day long about why our community doesn't know that we're here. We can put up a playground and People will drop by and say, oh, they put up a playground. But have you taught, you know, and they'll notice that they'll say, oh, there's been a change. But they don't know who we are. They can notice a physical change to a building. They can notice a physical change to the grounds. But they still know nothing about you. You are the greatest. We've talked about this for months. And we've said this for quite some time. That we are the men. We all have a ministry. And our ministry is living a life that should reflect what you believe about the Word of God. And that ministry should shine forth, as Jesus spoke about in the fifth chapter of the book of Matthew, of being that salt and the light in your community. So oftentimes we could turn out the lights. It probably worked today because it's kind of cloudy outside. We could talk about how much one little light shines out so bright. But could you imagine if there's about 40 of us here this morning, could you imagine if each of us had a light and were shining together? What a difference it would make. Go to now, ye rich men, weep and howl for your miseries that shall come upon you. Your riches are corrupt and your garments are moth-eaten. I can't read these verses without thinking about Matthew chapter 6, about some of the language that is there, about lay not up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moth and rust doth corrupt. Why? Because the things that you have here, gold, is going to corrupt by rust. Every day that lately I've been kind of fascinated about cast iron skillets and cooking bacon. And Sammy enjoys watching me do that. She thinks it's kind of funny that I will sit there and eat 7 or 8 pieces of bacon. She knows it's unhealthy for me. I need to quit. But I sit there and have to be careful when I clean it, because when I get done cleaning it, I have to make sure there's no moisture in there because of why? It will rust. What do you think is going to happen to all your money, physical money, and those types of treasures and physical metal items? You know, precious metals have value, but they can rust. Okay? What about your clothes? Your garments? Moths love to eat wool. There you go. Moths love to eat wool. I can go out and buy a $1,200 suit. And I could probably look pretty good in a $1,200 suit. But you know what? At the end of the day, the moth eats the $1,200 wool suit and the $200 wool suit just the same. So where are you putting your treasure at? Did you know a leather couch? Me and Sammy have been talking about this. I can go buy a $3,000 leather couch, but you know a dog will scratch a $3,000 leather couch the same as it will a $700 leather couch. I have a good wife, by the way. She's trying to put things into perspective and things that I didn't ever thought of. I told a brother from Oxford yesterday, who called me from Brother Josh Winslet, former church there, and he asked me. He says, "How's marriage life?" And I said, "I'm learning a lot." And I'm learning, and I told him, I said, and things I thought I knew, I'm learning I didn't really know. I'm telling you, this is a learning experience. And we're going to learn a lot more about each other. And the more we dig into God's Word and actually start applying it, we're going to figure out how to actually improve our ministry. Yeah. And we're going to figure out a way that it's going to work. Amen. But sitting here doing the same thing over and over again is not going to help. So it's going to take some effort by us. Go to now, so your riches are corrupt, and your garments are moth-eaten, your gold and silver is cankered, and the rust of them shall be a witness against you. See, the things that you do, the things you put stock in, the cars you drive, the clothes you wear, the things you have in your home, they're a witness against you. The things that you put stock in. Well, if people come over to your house, and I'm being quite serious this morning, if they see your Bible laying on your coffee table or your mantle or wherever you put it, and it's covered in dust, it's a witness against you because it's obviously true. You don't ever open it. But when you find a Bible that I remember my dad's back, I don't know, we'd have to go back about 12 years, about 10 years, maybe, I don't know. It's this old Bible that I know my aunt, Sister Nan, probably fixed a time or two, but where all the pages were falling out of it. You could tell it had actually been used and the pages had been turned enough to where, you know, obviously you would be able to know about this man, he knows his Bible. It doesn't get that way just by sitting there. The things you put stock in are a witness against you. And I can tell you this, as much as I love Alabama football, When you put more stock into those types of sporting events, you're more important. What's more important to you is going to those sporting events, watching them on television. And yes, you know, I could probably think about times myself where I probably watched a game and I should have been doing something else. But it's still a witness against you because that's what you're putting stock in. It's a witness against you and shall eat your flesh as it were fire. You have heaped treasure together for the last days. If you turn over, we'll just start. I'm going to come back to a couple of places, but we'll go to Matthew chapter 6 and we'll kind of read some of the things there that Jesus teaches about wealth. And I've been very fascinated because one of the things that we've been talking about here at this church lately is what is the doctrine of Jesus Christ? What did he teach? This is something that's so important that one of the first sermons that he did, the Sermon on the Mount that spans from Matthew chapter 5, chapter 6, chapter 7, this is one of the key things that he taught on, and one of his warnings to his people was that we should not lay up treasures for ourselves. In verse 19 of Matthew chapter 6, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon the earth where moth and rust doth corrupt and where thieves break through and steal. You know, I've got to thinking, you know, me and Sammy have been talking about getting a security system. I know some of us here have security systems. And I got to thinking to myself, well, it'd be nice if they wanted to break into the home, but what if they didn't have anything to steal? Just another thought. You know, if I've got more, if I just keep heaping to myself treasures and treasures and treasures and spending money and money on useless things. Well, you know, if the thief comes and he breaks in and steals something, okay, he gets a thing or two, great. But it's not the end of the world. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do break through. Do not break through nor steal. So the question may come is, how do you lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven? What do you do? What are the steps you take? I could maybe one of these days write a book on how to lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Maybe you do that one day. I can't give you a quick 1-2-step quick guide of how to lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. We're going to have to read God's word and figure out some things. And that doesn't mean laying up for yourselves. Here's a good example. It's not a great example, but it's a good example. Coming to church every single time that the house of God is meeting together, the saints of God are meeting together, is a very good way to lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Singing all the day long when a good church song or a good godly Christian song comes to your mind, that is laying up for yourselves a treasure in heaven. Doing something kind for someone else just for the sake of doing it, expecting nothing in return, is laying up for yourself a treasure in heaven. It takes very little effort when we have a person that's here in the hospital, as we've had over the last several months, whether it was my grandmother, Sister Hazel, or others that have passed away, or Brother Ronald's mother. It doesn't take any effort, hardly at all, to swing through the hospital, go in, say a prayer, tell them you love them, and leave. It takes little to no time. You don't have to go there and spend 3 hours. Chances are they don't want you to stay there 3 hours. And if you talk as much as I do, I know they don't want me to stay there 3 hours. But those are the types of things of laying up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Every day or every night, you know, I've talked about in recent months about dwelling with the Comforter, dwelling and being more prayerful and being more in unity and abiding in the vine of Jesus Christ. And that's going to take us actually taking time out of our day to do so. I know it's easy for us to get busy with work and to get busy with activities and get busy. You know, I think about Adam and Emily. They get real busy trying to raise two boys. I'm telling you that are rambunctious as all get out. But you know what? They still make time. They're still going to take time to pray and to teach and to educate and to raise them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. That is, again, laying up for yourselves a treasure in heaven. I guarantee you, God is pleased, parents, when you raise your children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, and you take time every day to teach them something about what God has done for them. And guess what? When they're old, they won't depart from it if you've done the right teaching. That is important. The teaching has to be there from the time they're small to the time they're old. That is another treasure in heaven. You know what? I can't think of nothing more than when maybe me and Sammy have kids one of these days, 18, 20 years down the road. They're still in the church. I'm glad y'all got a sense of humor this morning. But, you know, 18, 20 years down the road from that point, that they're still in the church. And they still are Bible reading, God fearing, Lord bless, Lord help me, men and women. You know, I'd love to have, maybe if the Lord blesses me in both. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. We've heard that verse for years. I've heard it my entire life. But when you take time to step back and to actually ask yourself, where is your treasure? Where's your treasure today? Well, today I'm at God's house. So today, you know, I'm putting my treasure in the Lord today. What about tomorrow? What about later tonight? I tell you one thing, DirecTV tried to fill me up with all this stuff. We got DirecTV at the house, and they were selling me NFL Sunday package, whatever that is. You know, I hadn't been able to use it once. And I'm sitting there thinking, that's something I don't want. I've been trying to get rid of it now for 3 months. But they wanted you to buy that, or they wanted you to have that. Oh, we'll give it to you for $2. Well, I'll do anything to get you off the phone, because I'm not going to watch it. That's what they do. They sit there and be, why? Why do I not need the NFL Sunday package? Because where am I at on Sunday afternoons? God's house. If I'm not in God's house, I'm probably driving back from Atlanta or Georgia, Atlanta, Tennessee, or somewhere else that I've been. I don't need NFL Sunday package. But people put a lot of stock in television packages. They put a lot of money into it every year. They put a lot of money in cars. They put a lot of money, and it's all about a status. It really is. It's I want you to see what I have. Where is your treasure at? Chances are your treasure is wherever you're spending the most time at. 40 hours a week, roughly 5 days a week, 8 hours a day, 40 hours of the week, I'm at work. Is my treasure in work because that's where I spend there most of the time? Well, I would hope not, despite the, you know. So I would have to say, let's get away from the job, looking at it from a job perspective. I hope that I'm able to work and be a servant unto my master as the way the Lord has commanded me to do, because he's given me a challenge and a commandment to support my wife and eventually support a family and to make sure that I do, that I'm working for them. So where am I spending my extracurricular activities outside of work? How many hours do you spend in front of the television? How many hours do you spend just hanging out with friends? How many times do you go to this function, that function, or whatever? You know, my parents worked very hard with me as a child because I didn't understand a lot of things. I should say that first. I didn't understand a lot of things. But the one thing they did want me to understand is that despite how athletic I may have thought I was never going to be on the Chicago Bulls, okay? I was more than likely, even at the age that I was probably never going to be taller than 5'6". Dad knew that. Why? Because he could look at me and tell that. I couldn't tell it because I was young and didn't know any better. So what did he do? We had a church meeting here, April meeting, baseball season. I wanted to go to practice, wanted to go to the game. Nope, couldn't go. Because his lesson to me was, don't go to the game. You're supposed to be in church. Church is more important because we're going to put our treasure in what? In the Word of God. And being out of his house and being out with the saints. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thine whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters. You cannot put your treasure in two different places and expect your heart to be fully and completely in both places. It's either going to be one or the other. I get asked so many times by so many people, why do you drive an hour? Because this is my home church, by the way. I get asked, why do I drive an hour to go to church? Because this is where my treasure is with this group of people. That's what Alan and Laura have determined, is that this is where they want to be. That's why they're making arrangements to move their homes here, because they want to be a part of this body and a part of this group of saints. They need a lot of prayer. A lot of challenges will come their way. Commutes get longer. Jobs may get, you know, there may be some more constraints on their jobs and on those types of things. They'll need your prayer. But I can guarantee you, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. If they're seeking the kingdom of God first and putting their treasure in God first, what are you worried about? We got to get rid of the excuses. We got to break down the walls. I got to thinking, you know, I was listening to that rabbi, and he was talking about how sometimes we think about Israel of being that nation that's over across the sea, and they're just, they're over there. But you know what? Because we're Jew, and because they are Jew and Gentile, the Lord broke down the middle wall of partition between us. We are now a part of this greater thing called spiritual Israel. And a lot of the promises of God that were in the Old Testament, even the promises that were in the New Testament, guess what? They're just as relevant to spiritual Israel today. I'm telling you, I know where I want my treasure. Now I've got a new treasure to focus on. I want to know more about that. I want to know more about some things that I've come to know over the last few days listening. Some things I might agree with, some things I don't. Some things I just don't know yet, and I got to study out. But you know what? My treasure is in learning and knowing more about God every single day that I live. We can't serve. We can't put them in both. And we can't serve two masters. We can't. And I know that's hard for both of us. All of us. Why is it hard for all of us? Well, because we do have moments where we get caught up in the flesh. There are moments where things seem appealing and we want to go do these other things. One, I'm going to go ahead and step on my own feet right now. And that's, I hope y'all will be forgiving of me in this. But, you know, it takes me a week sometimes to learn some things. And, you know, Adam looked at his dad, shake his head, go ahead. Last weekend, we had a fall festival on November 7th. And I wanted to go watch a football game. Well, Dad and Adam looks at me and says, "You're ridiculous." You know what? It took me a week to realize, but you know what? I really was putting my stock more in a game. I really was. Why? I missed out on a wonderful fellowship opportunity to sit around and sing a little more and do a few things. I just really wanted to go watch that game. You know what? I need to grow up a little bit too in that area. And I can say that at the age of 28 years old. I hope to say it when I'm 50 years old, that I can still grow up a little bit. Why? Because we're supposed to be maturing every single day. Yeah. And it's not a mature that we think about when kids are 13 and we want them to be adults. I'm talking about a constant growth that is supposed to occur when you enter in. I'm going to go and say it. When you walk down this aisle and you become a member of this church, I know we focus a lot about being a member of this body of people, but when you get baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and you dedicate your life that day to Jesus Christ, that's what you're saying, is you're what is an outward profession, an outward confession that says, I'm a member of this family. Why? Because of what Jesus did, and now I've got to mature and grow up in Christ. And that is the beginning point. But you know what? Sometimes we get to that point and we think it's the end. Well, I did it. It's great. It's wonderful. But no, it's the beginning of something completely more marvelous than anything we could ever imagine. And if you're sitting there today and you haven't put your treasure in serving God, please come down. There's two elders here. I don't know who will dunk you, but we'll figure it out. And we'll make sure we start this journey together about how we're going to grow together and start focusing on putting our treasure in Jesus Christ. I want to ask some very hard questions now. Over in Matthew chapter 13, I believe it is, and we're going to read about that parable, about the parable of the hidden treasure. And I'm going to ask some very difficult questions, because if I knew the answer, you know, I think about, you know, before we read here, let's just kind of pause and kind of step back and think about something that was greatly missed by a young man called the rich young ruler. He came to Jesus and said, you know, Lord, what must I do to be saved? And he says, you know, he's done all these things from his youth up. He's kept the law. He's done all these wonderful things. He says, but one thing thou lackest, he says, go and sell all that you have and come follow me. And he went away sorrowful because he was a very rich man.
I'm going to ask you today, what are you willing to give up for Jesus Christ? Something I've been in prayer about. I've always kind of known, but now it's becoming more of a reality. And I don't know what Adam would think about before he was ordained last year. But my ordination is coming up in less than two months. And I've really been asking myself, when the time comes, am I going to be willing, if I'm called to a church somewhere that's outside of here, to pick up my family and just go? Do I have the faith of Abraham just to go wherever God's called me to go, though I may not know what may be there? That's a hard question for each and every one of us to answer. How has God called you to go do something and you sat around and not done it? Are we really, sometimes we look at the rich young ruler and be like, ah, look at him. All he had to do was probably sell some of his stuff or something, just go follow Jesus. And we mock him and we say things like that, but we don't ever step back and ask ourselves the very same question. What are you willing to do for the cause of Christ? Are you willing to go to Africa? Stay in huts? After having the wonderful experience of air conditioning and motor vehicles and all of these things, to make a living to do those types of things. I'm not saying here that I'm being called to Africa, by the way. I'm just asking the question. Let's make it more simple. When you know somebody needs your help and they've called and asked for your help and you said, no, I can't make it for whatever reason, and maybe you'll lie. Maybe you say, no, I'm really kind of busy today. I can't do it today. That's kind of what the rich young ruler, I mean, it's another comparison of when God calls you to do something and our answer is just no. I'm not willing to do that. And all I can really say to that is sometimes I feel like that is where our deepest problem is. Is God has called each and every one of us to a ministry to let our light shine, and we simply say, today, I'm under a bushel. Today, I don't feel like it. Today, I'm tired. My boss got on to me. My mom got on to me. My dad got on to me. I'm fighting with my wife. I don't feel like it today. Or I'm fighting with my husband. I just don't feel like it. All of those are wonderful examples of how you're not putting your treasure and your faith and your trust in Jesus Christ. All of those are wonderful examples because those are some of the most common ones that we face every day. Matthew chapter 13, verse 44. And again, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a treasure hidden in a field, in which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy therefore goeth and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth that field. For all the joy that he had. Sometimes I have to ask ourselves, are we joyful in putting our treasure in Jesus Christ? When we find something, we found the pillar of the truth. This is something I've been trying to figure out for months now. Is the primitive Baptist, I listen to a lot of what, about that comparison between spiritual Israel or natural Israel now and spiritual Israel, the Gentiles. And I'm sitting here thinking, this man who was a hard-fought Jew for 60 years. And he finally somehow the light hit him and realized, wait a second. Romans chapter 11 finally kind of started to sink into him. A lot of these things about what the Word of God was saying, about the reason why Paul wrote these letters to the Gentiles was to tell them about how they were grafted into this thing which was spiritual Israel. And I tell you, we preach that doctrine here. It's here. It's not many other places, folks, but it's here. And I'm excited about it. I'm sitting there listening to this last night and this morning, and I'm just like, I'm kind of just getting this feel of like, there's somebody else out there who gets it finally. We have a truth that is here, and I'm telling you, I want each and every one of us here to figure a way to be more joyful about it. If it's your treasure, I mean, the only thing I can gather is when we're not more joyful about it, then our treasure really isn't here. I'm telling you, there are days and days. I mean, I promise. I know I've said this to y'all here before, but my coworkers think I'm a little crazy because I go around humming. I do, and I'm humming. What do you think I'm humming? The songs I know by heart. Why? And because they speak to me. They speak. They're the way I get through my day. Because I'm putting my treasure here. So I'm asking you, what do you do during the day? Are you joyful about it? Did you have such a wonderful time at God's house on Sunday that you just couldn't wait to tell it to somebody the next day? We can figure this out, how to be more joyful. We can figure this out, folks. I've got confidence in us. I want to see more smiles on your faces instead of the seriousness I see all the time. I'm telling you, it's hard for a preacher to go to a place and to preach to people just kind of, what you going to tell me today? And kind of look. It's hard. I get that. Ask Sammy. She's been with me some places. It's hard. I get up there, I'm sweating because I don't like that. I feel like they're down there hating me. Or they're not excited about the truth of God's word anymore. Do you remember how excited you were the day you got baptized? I remember the day me and Emily were baptized. I didn't know what it meant then. I probably should have been rebaptized 50 times between now and then. I probably should have been. I need to recommit. You know, we talk about conversion all the time. You go straight, got converted again, get back on track. Let's go. Right now, we need a conversion in our churches to be happier about the message that's being preached. I don't care if you sit there and shout hallelujah to me, or you just raise your hands, or if you just say amen real loud. I don't care. I just want you to be happy about the message. I want to know that you're putting your treasure here in this church and in this service, and that you're praying for your pastors that are here. And when you come to sing, Brother Todd, we talk about it. I don't care if you're off key, on key, or whatever. We just singing together, brother. Tony, I like to be excited when I come to God's house. And we can figure it out. I tried to figure out why on so many other churches that you can go witness, why they're so excited about trying to figure out how to work themselves to death trying to get to heaven. I can't get excited about that. But I can get excited about a message knowing it was fully taken care of on the cross by Jesus Christ. And how do I know that? Because I've got faith in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That he was seen of over 500. That he was seen of the 12. He was seen of Paul. It's a witness. And for the joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath. Now I'm going to ask you another question. When Jesus Christ comes to you and says, I need you to follow me, and you get joyful about selling everything you got, can you do it? Seriously, could you do it with joy, or would you do it begrudgingly? Seriously, would you do it with joy in your heart? Or, well, if I got to, gosh, if that's what it's going to take. We say those types of things all the time. Well, or we say it to our wives, or we say it to our husbands. Sure, honey, if you want me to. And we say things like that. Well, I guess if the church needs me today, I'll go. I know it's just my time. We do that stuff begrudgingly, folks. If people, guess what? We already found out. It's a witness. When people hear you say this, it is a witness to them that they see, well, man, he's just sour about going to church. Why would I want to go to a place where people are sour about going to church? Or about sour about doing the works of Jesus Christ and doing his and following his commandments? Why? People see that, folks. And guess what? We're the ministry.
Yeah, that's right.
We're the ministry. You can't put all of that pressure on myself, on Brother Charles, or Brother Adam. You can't say, well, it's all their fault. They've been teaching it for a long time. It's time for us to band together and let's just start moving. Letting our light shine in a way that nobody will has ever seen it shine before. Yeah. And we can do it. To sit there and say we can't do it, you've already defeated yourself. You're done before you even got started. For the joy that he had, he sold all that he hath and buyeth that field. Verse 45. And again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went out and went and sold all that he had and bought it. What would you do? There used to be a, I can't ever hardly say that without thinking of that old Nickelodeon television show. What would you do anyways? What would you do? What would you do? What would each of you? And I'm not speaking to us as a collective. I'm asking you individually. Brother Jim, Brother Alan, Sammy, Sister Robin, Sister Sharon, Sister Joy. What are you individually going to do to enter into that kingdom more? Because that was the thing that Jonathan Wise asked. He says, if there is a problem, you might want to look at yourself. Because it's very easy for all of us to say, well, that's because that preacher we got. No offense, guys, by the way. It's just those, those people over there. Or it's old sister so-and-so. Or it's old brother so-and-so. They don't, every time somebody comes through the door and they look a little different, they got to say something to them. And it makes us all, and it does make us all look bad, by the way. But it's easy for us to sit there and point fingers at everybody else instead of sitting there saying, you know what? What's wrong with me today? Amen. If I come to this service and I don't get anything out of it, when I came through that door, what did I bring? Did I bring a good attitude? A smiley face? I even tried to trim my beard up for y'all this morning. But just to come here and to be happy for a change, for us to be together. Why? It's not about us, and it's not about all of us just being happy for the sake of being happy. It's about us all joining together and worshiping together for the excellency of the power of Christ. Because it's not about our power, it's about His power. We're going to read that. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, this is going to kind of sum up what we have here this morning. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, and by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Jesus Christ. One of the things that we're going to have to do is we're going to have to put aside some things. We're going to have to make sure that we're not wresting the Word of God. And that's what Paul's talking about. Teaching the Word of God or handling the Word of God dishonestly. If we go over to 2 Peter chapter 3 in the last few verses there, the warning to us is that we do not twist and wrest the Word of God to make it to believe whatever we want it to believe, because then we're going to go off in a place of error. But rather, we handle it rightfully. We handle it justly in the eyes of God. God, righteously in the eyes of God, and we sit there and proceed forward having this ministry. Why? Because it's not about us anymore. This ministry, this church, us gathering together, it's not about this group of people. It's about God. It's all about Him. It's always been about Him. But see, it's too easy for us to get caught up in making it about ourselves. Even the minister can make it about himself. But if we all come together with this idea that we're going to do a better job tomorrow, and every single day after that, that we're going to do a better job at putting our treasure in Him, because the excellency is for Him. It's all about Him. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined into our hearts. Do you realize that? Take a step back. This treasure that we're trying to focus on, this thing, and I can't see the clock back there. There we go. This thing that we're trying to put our treasure in is not remotely about us. It's about the same power that when God, at the beginning of our creation, said, "Let there be light." There was light. that same power that he had at that point in time at the creation of this world, that same power, he has said, "You're my child. You're my child. You're my child." And he has shined into our hearts what? The very new covenant that's spoken of over there in Hebrews chapter 8. That he says, and it's spoken of, I believe it's Jeremiah chapter 31. He says he would write, "Behold, the days come," excuse me, verse 10, "For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my laws into their mind and write them into their hearts. And I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. And they shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord. For all shall know me, from the least to the greatest." Back to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. "For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness," this is the same power that he said, "You're my child, and I'm going to write my laws on your heart." Do you fulfill the Spirit this morning in your heart? Guess what, child of God? That means he wrote the laws on your heart. And guess what? That means you're special. That means that you have a ministry, that he loved you in a way that we won't understand until probably the day that we go home to be with him. But one of these days we will understand it. He says, "And has shined into our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." He has shined it in our hearts to give us this knowledge. Now I'm going to ask you, you know, for years we talk about Romans chapter 10. Y'all don't have to turn there. I'm just going to grab something. For years I've heard it said, "Brethren, my heart's in desire and prayer for God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge." Well, I'm going to tell you right now, if you feel like we have a little bit of knowledge this morning of what Jesus Christ has done for us, let's get excited and have that zeal, and let's couple that together a little bit. Yeah. If we do that, our singing's going to be better. Our worship's going to be better. I guarantee it'll fire up the ministers that preach before you, and it'll fire them up. They'll want to preach better. And when we walk away from this, the house of God, we'll want to do better for the cause of Jesus Christ. "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us." It's not about us. When we leave this place and we put our treasure in God, in Christ Jesus, because that's where we know our heart wants to be. When we do that, let's keep the focus that it's not about me going out there and seeing how many folks I can impress with good works and those types of things. But our goal and our only goal should be that God is magnified, glorified, and that we worship Him better every single day. I hope this has been thought-provoking for you all this morning. Let's focus on where we put that treasure. Brother Austin reading those verses last week really stirred me up and thinking about how, man, if we're not careful where we're putting our treasure, if we put it in riches, if we put it in cars and all the useless things in this world today, we're going to miss it, folks. Are you prepared to give everything that you have, sell all that you have, whatever it may be? If it's the very last shirt on your back, would you do it? Because that's what God's called you to do. Real quick, last verse. It says in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8. I guess I'm just going to read the last phrase because this won't rest the Word of God. But it says, "Think on these things." Go read that verse and think on the things that we've been called to do. We can do better. Lord bless y'all. You got something you need to read? Okay.
Started digging into a little bit more about this. What is the doctrine of Christ? What did he teach us? Well, one of the things we really haven't touched on yet, but has been going through my mind, and it goes back to something Brother Derek's talking about, is the Bible says Christ came to be a servant. He came to be a servant, not to be served. And the Bible then calls on us to be followers of Him. It's not a stretch, is it? You know, to figure that out. You don't even have to know rocket science to figure that one out. So, well, if we're supposed to be following Him, and He came to be a servant, shouldn't we be a servant?
Right.
And there's lots of ways to do that. But I think sometimes we don't have it done very well. And we need to think more about that. How can we be a servant? And part of the other piece of that then would be, you know, the Bible talks about not doing your alms to be seen of men. So then as you're serving, how are you serving? Are you doing it so that everybody says, hey, look at the good job they're doing? Or are you just doing it because that's the thing to do? And I think when we start getting some of these things kind of worked out in our mind, then we don't have to do it so that Zion's Rest Church gets glory.
Right.
We don't have to do it so Brother Adam or Sister Joy or gets or anybody gets glory. We just do it because that's what, as followers of Him,